This Easter season, we're offering a special downloadable resource that will inspire you and deepen your faith. He Is Risen is a digital booklet featuring powerful articles from The Stand and AFA Journal that explore the life-changing truth of the resurrection, the significance of Easter, and how to share these foundational truths with others. For a limited time only, it's our gift to you for any donation of $5 or more. Help us continue to share biblical truth, defend Christian values, and equip our families. Visit afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And it is Wednesday before Good Friday, before Easter Sunday, and lots of things going on. We have a service every Wednesday night, so we're going to be praying for hearing the word and praying for Good Friday and for Easter Sunday. You know, Easter is really the Super Bowl of Sundays for churches as we gather to celebrate the empty tomb and celebrate the day death died as Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. And if you live in the Texarkana area and you don't have a church home, we would love for you to come and be a part of what the Lord is doing at First Baptist Texarkana. Well, I wanted to read to you from Matthew chapter 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." A big question is, where is your treasure? Because there's a connection between your heart and your treasure. And one of the things that we just got through last week of having Share-a-thon, Spring Share-a-thon, and the Lord was very gracious, and so many people participated in that, and it was an offering of over $4 million, and so we praise the Lord. But there are opportunities to make sure that you're putting your treasure in heaven. You know, the old saying, you can't take it with you, which is really true, but you can send it on ahead. And so the American Family Association has the AFA Foundation that exists to help individuals and families leave a legacy that lasts for generations through bequests, charitable gift annuities, trusts, and wills. And so we have Chelsea Wildman, the Associate Director of AFA Foundation, on the line with us. Chelsea, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're very welcome. And you've been with AFA Foundation for how long now, Chelsea?
Oh, me, going on 11 years now.
11 years. And so yeah. You've seen a lot of things in those 11 years and probably have talked to just hundreds of people who want to get involved in this. But maybe our listeners are saying, what is AFA Foundation and how do I get involved in that?
Yes, absolutely. So our foundation, we exist to help donors, just like you said, leave a lasting legacy for generations to come. And through our main area that we help folks do that is with a charitable gift annuity. That allows a donor to give a gift of any amount, $2,000 or above, and then they would receive a fixed income for life. And then they also get some great tax benefits from that. They get a partial tax deduction the year that they give the gift, as well as partial tax-free income when they start to receive those payments from that gift. And so, and then whenever that person goes to be with the Lord, any remaining funds are then gifted to AFA. So it is really a win-win. They get a fixed income for life, that percentage is not going to go up or down with the ever-changing stock market. And they also get to give a gift for American Family Association. So it's a great piece to have in your tool belt for retirement years.
So how many are participating in that now? Do you have a number on that?
Oh, goodness. We have hundreds and hundreds. I want to say, I know we have about 600 annuitants, so that number just grows each day.
So were you there when it began, or has this been going on longer than your 11 years?
No, it has been in existence longer than my 11 years, and our former advisor, Dan Celia, who has since gone home to be with the Lord, he really was instrumental in working with Riley Wildman, our director, and Diane O'Neill, our former director, in putting the foundation in place and, you know, training and getting all of the pieces in place for us to really be successful. And we have, thanks to all the hard work of all those individuals and with the help of the Lord, we've been very successful in helping folks leave a legacy for AFA.
And so how do they go about it, Chelsea? They just call the office, or do they go online? What's the best way?
Yes, so they can go to asafoundation.net and kind of check us out online, and then when they're ready to speak with someone, they can give us a call. That number is 1-800-326-4543, and that's extension 345. And Jessica, Riley, myself, our team would love to speak with anyone who has questions regarding the charitable gift annuity and the AFA Foundation. And I'll give that number once more, 1-800-326-4543, extension 345.
So a gift of $2,000 or more, you can invest it with American Family Association, American Family Foundation, and get that fixed income. So monthly coming in, or quarterly, or however you set it up?
Yes, exactly. It can be monthly, quarterly, annually, or semi-annually.
Okay. And then you just know that principal amount is going to go to American Family Association when you go home to be with the Lord, and the treasure that you have is then, after your life here on earth is through, it's still going to be used to lift up the name of Jesus and hopefully draw people to the cross.
Yes, absolutely. And also, we have another event coming up in October that we would love to tell folks about if we've got a second.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yes, so we are going to have our first ever weekend with AFA, and that event will be held the weekend of October 2nd through the 4th this year at Kingfisher Lodge in Tupelo, Mississippi. So we chose to have this event at our headquarters in Tupelo so that we give folks a chance to come and take a tour of our new facilities and see the ins and outs of, you know, the radio behind the scenes, get to meet some of the staff, and really see what the ministry is doing, you know, with boots on the ground and getting the word of Jesus out to everyone. And it's a great way to fellowship with other believers, have some wonderful meals, and hear some great speakers. So we would love to invite your audience, if they are interested in attending, to visit asa.net/weekend. Or they can give us a call in the foundation, and I'd be glad to answer any questions. But again, that's asa.net/weekend. And we would love to invite your listeners to participate.
And is there a cost for that, Chelsea?
Yes, there is. So the conference fee is $450 per person, but that includes six meals, all the conference activities, getting to hear the wonderful speakers, and that just really great time of fellowship with fellow believers and getting to meet staff and getting to see, like I said, a kind of behind-the-scenes look at the work we do at AFA and AFR every day.
So it's more of just get to know us and how your investment would benefit the kingdom. Is that the goal?
Yes, absolutely. We want to get to know our supporters more, and yes, just encourage them and uplift them and tell them that we appreciate them.
Amen. Well, very good. Well, I encourage our listeners to check that out. Give that website again, Chelsea, for the conference.
Yes. afa.net/weekend.
Okay. www.realtruthfortoday.com/weekend. Very good. Well, thank you for coming on. I appreciate all that you do. And I know it's got to be very rewarding when you talk to the listeners and the supporters and just as they know, hey, I'm investing in the kingdom, and it's something that's going to benefit me and my family, and to know that, my treasure really is put in heaven's bank.
Absolutely. It really is. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Okay. God bless you. Well, I wanted to shift gears here for a minute. There was a great win and victory for sanity in the UK. And the United States, or the UK Supreme Court, ruled unanimously on October 16th that the legal definition of a woman and sex in the Equality Act of 2010 refers to biological sex, not gender identity or legal sex as modified by a gender recognition certificate. This landmark decision came from a case brought by For Women Scotland against the Scottish government challenging guidance under the Gender Representation on Public Boards in Scotland Act of 2018, which had included trans women with this gender recognition certificate in the definition of woman. So, you know, Matt Walsh did the movie What Is a Woman, and nobody could, you know, all these, this professor at some university that was teaching women's studies, he couldn't answer the question, what is a woman? His answer was, it's a woman, which is ridiculous. But the UK Supreme Court finally manned up and said, hey, the legal definition of a woman refers to biology, biological sex, not gender identity, and that sex and gender are inseparably linked, and there are only two genders. There are male and female. It goes on to say the court found that interpreting sex as certified sex, i.e. based on a gender recognition certificate, would make the Equality Act incoherent and impractical, and conflict with its biological basis rooted in the Sex Discrimination Act. This ruling clarified that only those born female are protected as women under the Act's sex discrimination provisions, emphasizing that, quote, the concept of sex is binary, a person is either a woman or a man, unquote. Well, it's a victory for sanity. As we've been saying for a long, long time on Real Truth for Today, it's not complicated. People try and make this complicated. It's not complicated at all. Now, you have people in our world who are very confused, and they think, well, really supposed, I should have been a woman, you know, the Bruce Jenner thing. You know, God, you did great things in creating me, but you messed up in one area. I should have been a woman. Well, that's a huge area, and God didn't make any mistakes. God created him to be a man. And Bruce Jenner, no matter how many times you have surgery, take hormone pills, whatever you do, you can slice and dice your body. Guess what? You're still XY male. You can't change that. Your skeletal system is male. Your chromosomes, male. Everything is male. You have a problem in your mind, and the way you deal with a problem in your mind is not by everyone engaging in your fantasy, in your delusion. It's for people to tell you the truth. If you have anorexia nervosa, and you always think you're fat and you're starving yourself to death, you need people to tell you the truth, not people to enter into your delusion. Your delusion is going to kill you. And my heart goes out to people that are struggling in their minds. And I've said this, it's simple, but things can be simple and not easy to do, but they can be simple to understand. And the simple truth is, God made you the way you are. He made us male or female, and the sooner we yield to that, the sooner we can enjoy life. Life is a struggle when you fight God on basic truths such as, am I a male or a female? Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back, we're going to talk about this question. Did Jesus forgive Judas? This has been going around on social media that Jesus kissed Judas, washed his feet, and forgave him. We'll talk about that when we come back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. As I said right before the break, we want to answer this question. Did Jesus forgive Judas? So this is what's been going around on social media, especially Facebook. And a good friend, Lisa Bowden, sent me this yesterday. And she said, can you talk about this on the program? And here's what the statement says. This is the week Jesus kissed Judas and washed his feet. Think about that as you struggle to forgive others. And so, you know, the sentiment about forgiving others is good, but then it links it to Jesus forgiving Judas. So did he do that? Well, this is the week Jesus kissed Judas. Well, no, it's not. This is the week on Friday. We call it Good Friday. It wasn't good back then. It was actually early in the morning after midnight on Friday that Judas kissed Jesus. And Jesus said, Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Now, it's kind of interesting. So we have this situation with Jesus in the garden, and Judas is betraying him, and he has the soldiers with him. Judas is a picture of the Antichrist who's going to come up against Jesus at the Battle of Armageddon with his soldiers. And so Judas leads the soldiers into the garden, and he says, they said, well, how are we going to know which one is Jesus? And he said, well, I'll give you a sign. It's the one whom I kiss. And the one whom I kiss, that is Jesus, and then you can arrest him. And that's when he came, Hail, Rabbi. He came to kiss him, and Jesus said, Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? It was a kiss from hell. Jesus didn't kiss Judas. Judas kissed Jesus, the kiss of betrayal. And it says, this is the week Jesus kissed Judas. No, he didn't. And washed his feet. Now, that is true. John chapter 13. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And Jesus made it clear when he washed the disciples' feet. You know, he said, you know, this is what I do. You don't realize, you know, and Peter didn't want him to wash his feet. Lord, you'll never wash my feet. This is not what the Messiah is supposed to do. He said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Oh, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. And for this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. John chapter 6, Jesus said, did I not choose you the 12? And yet one of you is a devil. And they, well, John is making that that statement, you know, of Jesus. And then he says, this he spoke of concerning Judas Iscariot. Judas is always called the betrayer, the one who would betray him. So, you know, John 6 is a difficult sermon that Jesus preached, and they quit following him after that. These are difficult sayings. Who can follow after this? Who can go with this? But then Jesus said to his disciples, hey, you don't want to go too, do you? And they say, Peter said, well, Lord, where are we to go? You have words of eternal life. And that's when he said, did I not myself choose you the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? Now, John adds this, now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. The disciples didn't know, when Jesus would say things like that, they didn't know which one was a devil. And Jesus said, at the Last Supper, one of you will betray me. And they all began to say, surely it's not I, Lord. I said, no, it can't be me. Even Judas himself said that, not I, Rabbi. And he said, you have said it yourself. And then he told him, what you do, do quickly. Satan entered Judas. You know, we talk about people being demon-possessed. Judas was Satan-possessed. That's why he's a picture of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be Satan in the flesh. And Judas is a picture of that. And so Jesus made no bones about the fact that Judas, woe to the man, he says in Matthew chapter 26, he said, let me read this verbatim, Matthew 26, 24, the Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. John chapter 17, verse 12, in the great high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus, he says this, while I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. The son of perdition. That is the son of hell, the son of damnation, the son of destruction and eternal ruin. That's what that word means. Jesus didn't forgive Judas. To be forgiven means to be saved. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14 speaks of those in Christ in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption is the forgiveness of sins. Jesus forgave us, Revelation chapter 1, and released us from our sins. Remember the woman that wept at Jesus' feet, Luke chapter 7, the prostitute, she's unnamed, but she weeps at Jesus' feet. And he says, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. She was saved and forgiven and saved. There was a song by the Imperials when I was in college, and the words were, I'm forgiven. Now I have a reason for living. Jesus keeps giving and giving, giving till my heart overflows. Judas wasn't forgiven. And so this idea, this is the week Jesus kissed Judas. No, it wasn't. It was the week Judas kissed Jesus in betrayal. It was the week that Jesus washed his feet. Yes. Remember the He Gets Us campaign where they said Jesus didn't preach hate, he washed feet. Jesus washed feet one time, John chapter 13, at the Last Supper. He washed the disciples' feet. You call me teacher and Lord, for you are right, because I am. And what I did, you ought to do too, and to humble yourself and to wash one another's feet. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, he said. For I gave an example, you an example, that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. So that was the example. Judas was included. And he says that you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you, but not all of you, because Judas was there. And now here's the thing in that meme that's going out. This is the week Jesus kissed Judas and washed his feet. Think about that as you struggle to forgive others. Now, you and I do struggle to forgive others. Jesus, and here's the thing with us. If somebody wrongs us, somebody betrays us, somebody hurts us, somebody does something to us that is a wound in our hearts, well, I mean, it can be something from cutting you off in traffic to betraying you in a marriage. You know, one is minor and you forget about it, and one is major and it's very, very difficult. You never forget about it, but that doesn't mean you have to hold on to bitterness. And for us, we are commanded to forgive. And Jesus said in the model prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's the Lord's Prayer. It's the model for prayer. Matthew chapter 6, pray then in this way, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Okay, so people say, well, wait a minute. How come I'm commanded to forgive and God, he's not commanded to forgive. He gives me a law, he gives me a command, and then he doesn't live under it. Well, here's the difference. You and I, when we don't forgive somebody, we hold on to the hurt, the wound in our heart. We nurse the hurt, we rehearse the hurt, we curse the hurt. We're just holding on to that. And we're thinking about how we detest this person that did these things to us. And we get bitter. We get resentful and bitter toward that person. The Lord, and we judge that person. Now, it's not our place to judge because we're not the judge. We can tell people what the judge has said. You know, no man can judge me. People have that tattoo. No man can judge me. And if you tell somebody what the Lord has said, they get very offended. You know, you're living with your boyfriend, your girlfriend. That's wrong. That's sin. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Hebrews chapter 13. And they say, quit judging me, man. It's like, I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what the judge has said. I'm trying to help you, because when you go into court one day, and you will, because we all have a date with deity, God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. When you have that appointment in court with the judge of all the earth, and he is going to bring this up, and he is going to tell you and quote to you Hebrews 13, you're like, yeah, Pastor Jeff told me that, and I told him, don't judge me. And the Lord will say, yeah, he wasn't judging you. He was telling you what I was going to say, because I wrote that in my word. We don't judge people. We tell them what the judge is going to say. And when we hold on to things, then we become the judge. And when we refuse to forgive people, we become the judge. And we see, we banish that person, you know, we hate that person, and we say, you're dead to me, boy, you're banished forever, that kind of thing. And, we say that sometimes, I wish you would just go to hell. Well, that's a terrible thing to say to somebody. But we're not given that that place of judgment. The Lord alone is judge. And the Lord doesn't have feelings of visceral, emotional, oh, that Judas Iscariot, I just hate that guy. I can't wait to throw him into hell. He's not like that, because the Lord loves. God is love. And at the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the Lord takes no pleasure in judging people and casting them into hell, throwing them into the lake of fire. That's not what he wants to do. Ezekiel 18, the Lord says, I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. Therefore, repent and live. And the Lord wants to save. He doesn't want to judge. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. It'd be very easy for God to just have condemned the whole world. He'd have been right to do that, because we're all guilty before God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But God doesn't want to judge. He wants to save. He wants us to respond to him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Bible is filled with invitations to come to the Lord. I love the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 17. It ends in verse 21. So this is right toward the end, and it's an invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. And so God is calling people to himself. He doesn't want to judge anyone. Hell wasn't made for people. Matthew chapter 25. Depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's why he created hell. It wasn't created for people. It was created for the devil and his angels. His angels are the demons, those who went with him in the rebellion, the third of the heavenly hosts that went with Lucifer turned Satan in the rebellion. And that's why he created hell. And people go there, but God doesn't want you to go there. God didn't want Judas to go there. And if Judas would have repented, as Peter repented, he could have been forgiven. But he didn't, and Jesus knew he wasn't going to repent. That's why he said, did I not choose you the 12, yet one of you is a devil? The devil doesn't repent, and the demons don't repent. God wants to forgive. Now, here's the thing for us, for you and me, as we struggle to forgive, we remember we got to turn that person over to the Lord, and we got to give that hurt to the Lord. We can't hold on to it. We can't let the sun go down on our anger. And we just know if we're holding on to it, we're sinning, and then we can't have a relationship with God. That's why he says you need to forgive others so that I can forgive you. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are coming up against a break for segment number two. And so when we start in segment number three, we're going to open the phone lines, and I'd love to hear from you. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, please give me a call, and we can talk about it. Maybe it's related to what I've been talking about today, or maybe it's unrelated. Maybe it's something that's just on your heart. Maybe it's a testimony of you really letting go of a hurt, a wound, and a person who had hurt you and experienced the wonders of forgiveness. Give me a call, and let's talk. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners just like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives. We have to save them. So please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And if you have a question or a comment or a brief testimony, we've been talking about forgiveness. Would love to hear how the Lord worked in your heart, how you were able to forgive someone who hurt you. I was watching just the other day about the man in court who forgave that officer who mistakenly went into the wrong apartment, ended up shooting and killing the man in that apartment, and it was all just a big mess and a fiasco, and that woman was obviously guilty. But it wasn't something, to my knowledge, it wasn't something she did on purpose. But the brother on the witness stand said, I forgive you. And man, it was just so emotional that he asked the judge, can I give her a hug? And the judge said, yes. And she just wept in his arms, and he just held her, and he said, listen, Jesus, there's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus. And he wasn't going to hold on to any of that unforgiveness, any of that bitterness in his heart. So definitely we need to do that. But did Jesus forgive Judas? Judas went to hell, and actually in Hades right now. He's awaiting his trial in Revelation chapter 20 at the great white throne judgment, and he's going to spend forever in hell. He didn't repent. He was remorseful of what he did, but he went and hanged himself. And That's how he tried to escape from the torture that he was feeling inside. Well, we have Dennis on the line from Mississippi. Dennis, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I was just touching on base. You got my point across about how he was remorseful, but, you know, he didn't repent.
Right.
It's a prideful thing, you know. People don't want to forgive or forgive others. It's a very sad thing that people don't want to forgive.
Yes.
I'm fighting my own situation. If my mother doesn't want to forgive me, she feels like I betrayed her. So I haven't talked to her about 4 months.
Oh. I'm so sorry.
Soft heart, thick skin to be able to forgive me.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Dennis. You know, when people choose not to forgive and choose to just stew in their own juices, so to speak, of unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment, you know, one of the reasons the Lord is so seemingly, from our perspective, so harsh on that, hey, if you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you, is because God loves us and he knows that bitterness in the heart will just destroy us. It's a cancer of the soul, and it just eats up everything. When you get bitter, it's just awful, and it just turns everything in your life just to this negative, hopeless, angry situation. And the Lord loves us too much to have us live like that. So he says, hey, forgive. And when you forgive, then your heart is free. You don't have those yuck feelings toward this person. And what I have found in my own life, when somebody has done something to hurt me, is if I'll pray for that person and ask God to bless that person, you know, it's the kindness of the Lord, Romans 2, that leads men to repentance, and ask God to just overwhelm them with kindness and to open their eyes to the truth and bring them to the place of brokenness over what has happened, and that they would be able to forgive. You know, when we wrong somebody, then the B is on us, the burden is on us to go to them and say, hey, I messed up, and I sinned against you, I wronged you, please forgive me, and I was so wrong, and be specific, I did X, Y, and Z, whatever that was, and I ask you to forgive me. I was thinking about that with George Foreman. You know, George Foreman recently went home to heaven, and he talked about after he got saved, he had to go and ask people to forgive him, and one of those persons was his first wife. And he was terrible to her. He was very unfaithful in their marriage, and he had to go to her and ask for forgiveness. Sometimes people don't grant it, and that's on them, but we're the ones that need to go, as Jesus said, hey, if you go to present your offering and remember your brother has something against you, he said, leave your offering, go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. And if the person doesn't want to be reconciled, that's on them. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And so you make sure that, hey, if I've wronged somebody, I make it right. Whether or not they accept that you can't make a person forgive you, but you can make sure that your heart is right, that you have sought the Lord's forgiveness and you've sought that person's forgiveness, and then you just have to leave that with the Lord. So I hope that's helpful, Dennis.
I just want to thank you very much for putting me on and just talking to you. I appreciate the radio station and the ministry. And, I listen to you every day, and God bless you and your family and American Family Radio. And it's truly a blessing. I drive a truck every day, so you guys are throughout the day just on my radio. And I've grown spiritually stronger since about a year ago. Closer cool. And reading my Bible and get my family where they should be and getting ready for the Lord's return.
Amen. Well, that's great. Well, I appreciate that, Dennis. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for calling in today. And the Lord bless you, my brother, and may he restore that relationship. Just keep trusting Him with it. Keep turning your mom to Him, and just say, Lord, do a deep work in her heart and life. And I was just reading today in my quiet time, Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. And so, Lord, show me if there's something that I've done that I maybe haven't sought forgiveness for. Maybe that person feels like, you know, I haven't, you know, haven't repaid them for whatever, you know, if I cost them financially or something like that. Remember, Zacchaeus said, Lord, if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I'll pay them back four times as much. Sometimes forgiveness shows up in a monetary way, because you took from somebody that was wrong and you're going to pay them back. But may God do a deep work there, Dennis, and thanks for calling in. Well, I do want to say something about the situation with Judas, because some people will say, well, Judas was remorseful. He was remorseful, but he had a sorrow that wasn't according to the will of God. It was a sorrow from the world. Second Corinthians chapter 7, Paul says this, beginning in verse 9, I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. Metanoia, changing your mind, what you think about what you did. You have a change that results in action. You know, repentance is always turning the other way. It's turning around. You're going the wrong direction. You repent and you turn around. For you were made sorrowful, he says, according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. There is no salvation without repentance, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Judas had a sorrow of the world. How do we know? Because it produced death. He went out and hanged himself, and he died of suicide. One of my favorite lines from Adrian Rogers, he said this, Judas, trying to escape the hell within him, hanged himself and stepped into the hell before him. But he was, you talk about being possessed. He was possessed of Satan. Satan entered him. And when Satan enters a person, I mean, all hell comes in with him. You can imagine how horrific your life would be if Satan were dwelling inside of you. He is a liar and the father of lies. He's a murderer. He's evil personified. I mean, he's the worst of the worst of the worst. He is the enemy of God. And if you have him inside of you, you would have torment. And so, trying to escape the hell within him, Judas went out and hanged himself and stepped into the hell before him. Big difference. I bring this out in sermons. Such a difference between what Peter did and what Judas did. You know, their sins were similar. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied Jesus. Now, the betrayal, much worse, but the denial is along those same lines. Hey, do you know Jesus? I don't know the man. Three times he denied that he even knew him, and he cursed and swore for emphasis, not that he was turning the air green with his curses, but I take that to mean he cursed and swore. He would say things like, I swear to God that I do not know the man. Will God strike me dead, or should God strike me dead if I'm lying? That's the kind of swearing that he was doing. And may I be struck with a curse if I'm lying. And so it would have been better for him just to speak vulgarities, but he didn't do that. He took an oath that God would afflict him if he is lying. Three times, and then the cock crowed, and he went out and wept bitterly. And then he repented. He got his heart right with God. He confessed that sin to the Lord. Now, he must have thought, there's no way God could ever use me again. And one of my favorite Easter passages is in the Gospel of Mark. And where it says, you know, it says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, Sunday morning, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, now watch it, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Just two words, "and Peter." Go tell his disciples and Peter. I'm not done with you, Peter. You need to know the Lord is not done with you. You've sinned greatly. But as it says in 1 Samuel chapter 12, when they asked for a king and Samuel reluctantly gave him a king, God told him, go ahead and give him a king. And then they realized how terrible it was. And Samuel said to them, "Do not fear. You have committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. You must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things which cannot profit or deliver, because they are futile." Hey, you might have committed a terrible, horrible, awful, heinous sin against the Lord that harmed somebody else. Maybe you got drunk, you got high, and you got into an accident, and you killed somebody, and you're carrying that in your heart, and you say, "How can I ever be forgiven for what I did?" And you have such remorse, and you want to follow in the footsteps of Judas and go out and hang yourself. Don't do that. Bring that to the Lord. Come before him. Remember what we said? He invites us. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." If you are weary, if you are burdened down with guilt, with shame, with the constant haunting of what you have done in your life and how you harmed other people emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially, whatever it is, how you sinned against God, he says, come to him. And he won't throw you out. He says, "I'll give you rest." That prostitute in Luke 7 that came to him, well, how in the world did she think there was a green light to do that? It's because Jesus has a face, a presence that says, "Come to me. If you come to me in genuine repentance, I will receive you and I will forgive you." You know, at the great white throne judgment, the book of life is open. It says books were open and another book is open, which is the book of life. So the book of deeds, how God judges everybody according to their deeds, but the book of life is open. And the Lord will tell everybody at the great white throne, they all go to hell at the great white throne, but he will show every single person at the great white throne before they're cast into hell, "I had a place for you in my book. Jesus Christ died for everyone. He is the propitiation for our sins," 1 John 2, "and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." We sing that song, "Hallelujah, what a Savior." Did Jesus forgive Judas? No. He judged Judas because Judas sinned greatly and never sought for his forgiveness, but it was available just like it's available to you and me today. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.